This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcoming in our audience in Richmond for the next 3 hours on AM 910, FM 105.1. Everybody's been listening on the flagship 106.7 all over D.C. since 2 o'clock. We are taking you up to 6:30 tonight, a little overtime ahead of the Nats and the Padres. Because you know how when Juan Soto goes to San Diego, we don't have to think about him for a little while, except the Nats
we'll never
are playing
see him again.
Seven times in 10 games, Danny.
Sportsman.
It had to happen.
What a cruel, mean-spirited, vindictive bleep word fate is. Just horrendous. I could have dealt with it if I saw it. The MLB Network Game of the Week. I'll just change the channel. I can't avoid it. It's time for Bob and Kevin Frangin to tell you what's going on. Juan Soto, so much Juan Soto in my piece, in that Padres uniform. It doesn't sting like some of the others, right? It doesn't hurt as badly, or it doesn't make me angry, but it hurts. It makes me very sad.
Let's go to our buddy Ben Standing of The Athletic, who covers the Commanders, get some news and notes out of Ashburn. Benjamin, I want to start with preseason game number two in Kansas City. Ron Rivera saying that he wants to play the starters a full half, but injuries are going to dictate what he's able to do. I took that to mean the offensive line is already ravaged right now, and he doesn't have any tight ends, so he's not going to be playing them a full half. Is that what you took out of that or no?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty bleak on the offensive line right now. The top three guards have been out of practice. Trey Turner's been out for a long time at this point. Schweitzer and Norwell have been out the last few days. And, you know, they already know that Chase Roullier is only going to play a limited time now that he's back in practice. So that is really crimping their style with who they have inside. That's why yesterday at practice, they went with three offensive tackles and Sam Cosmi moved inside. Today with the first team, they had a guy, Aaron Montero, effectively with the ones, I don't know, he's not making the team. So this is a huge issue for them if you want to get Carson Wentz the reps, which obviously they do. Who's out there trying to protect him? That's the huge question. I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if they went back to that three-tackle look. Not that Rivera said that, but simply if you want to get your best five guys out there, that may be what they need to do. So they've got some questions there, and that may be ultimately dictate how much or how little, you know, went in the starters play.
Ben, you know I'm known for being very rational and calm and patient and taking everybody at their word. So I, of course, am not moved any kind of emotion by this at any stage. When should we start to be, just for regular folks, not people like me that have supreme levels of tranquility in their souls, when should the average rank and file start to be a little bit concerned about this situation?
I would say once we get past this game. I mean, it is still... What are we now? We're under a month before the first game. We're 3 weeks out. But, you know, it's the point of preseason and is to, you know, help your team, you know, prep for the season. Then you want to use these opportunities as best you can. I don't know how much the starters will play at all in the third game. So this could be it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Rivera's not much for giving us too many specifics on injuries. And, you know, Trey Turner's been out for a long time at this point. The Norwell Schweitzer situations, we'll have to ask for an update, you know, maybe after the game or beginning of next week. So yeah, it's getting a little concerning. I mean, I don't know how to argue otherwise. And plus, like, you know, Sadiq Charles has missed some time, and, you know, frankly, he could play multiple positions, but I don't know that we can sit here anymore and say Sadiq Charles is a guy who could start, right? So you know, even if they have a couple guys who can nominally play, it's still different than having your starters in there. So, I would say, you know, they come for now, but by the time we get to next week, if these guys aren't back out there, then, yeah, we got to start asking some questions.
Speaking of questions, is Antonio Gibson still the starting running back in Washington?
Good question. I would say yes. But I think, to me, the way I've interpreted the action of the last few days, I'm sure you guys have talked about it a lot, where he's been working with not just the first team, but the second and the third team, plus getting special teams reps, that, you know, I think they're saying, hey, look, you're still our guy, but the patience is thin, especially since we have this other guy in Brian Robinson, who, you know, Brian Robinson has not played a single NFL game yet, but, you know, based on what we see in practice and in the preseason, he can be a pretty consistent option for us. And he's also known to hold on to the ball, something that Gibson obviously has had issues with. So, I think it's important to remember also, last year, they benched Gibson a couple times in games when he had these fumbles. So it's not like this is completely out of the blue. So that, you know, he's really going to have to show up the fumbling, but not just that, where, you know, Rivera talked about that he needs to run harder at the line of scrimmage, not just dance around as much. And yeah, if he doesn't start doing that more, they do have another way to go. And that's something they didn't have last year. So yeah, he is the starter, but I would say the patience is thin if he doesn't kind of get going here.
Ben Standing of The Athletic with us here on G&D. That's what I wanted to ask you about, Ben. I did. Grant and I were both kind of a little bit perplexed at that criticism from Rivera. The fumbling is bad. Everyone's got that. But he's like, he didn't run hard. And my point is, like, that's all he does. He has one gear. And it's just sort of this, you know, shot out of a cannon. There's no nuance to the position. To me, it's a vision question. It's a patience question at times, not a run hard type question. I was confused by that criticism. Help me understand.
Yeah, maybe he just means run decisive more than hard, and I think that's the thing with Gibson. You look at some of the various analytics. You know, he obviously is one of the more productive running backs with the basic stats, but not very efficient when you look at, you know, yards per carry and some of the DVOA numbers that he leaves a lot out there. And I think part of that is what I think Rivera's talking about is seeing the lane and being decisive with it. Scott Turner the other day when he was asked about Brian Robinson, said, hey, you know, I thought he did a really good job in his first game. You know, he left, you know, he maybe missed a couple of holes, but then he added that he runs so hard, he was still able to get yards out of it. And that's what you're looking for. And, you know, I think with Robinson, there does seem to be a little more decisiveness with what we've seen out of him, a little more north, south, not dancing as much. So, you know, I think that's kind of what he's talking about to an extent. And, you know, I don't disagree with Rivera. I mean, again, Gibson's really good. He's the home run hitter they got out of that backfield, but at the same time, you know, consistency is, you know, kind of a big deal, let alone holding onto the ball. And I think that's what they're getting frustrated with.
Ben, we had you on roughly 11 times in the couple of months leading up to training camp. And inevitably, in every one of those interviews, we asked you about what they were going to do at linebacker. And we always talked about how Ron Rivera had made it very clear that they would add one. Is Nathan Jerry the guy? Is that the addition? Or as cutdowns happen around the league, are you banking on them bringing in someone who has actually been a good starter in the NFL before?
Yeah, I mean, I think the plan is, yeah, I think Nathan Jerry is
that
guy.
Is it Gary or Jerry? Am I botching it?
You know, no, you're probably right. I'm not sure. I was second guessing myself as I was spitting it out. Yeah, I mean, look, he has some experience, right? He has played. Whether he was the best guy available, I'll leave that up to others. But you know, he has experience, so I understand if they feel that this is the guy who fills that need. But yeah, he's not like a starter per se, and I don't necessarily know that they needed that because you have Holcomb, you have Davis, you're mostly playing sub packages, but you needed some more depth than what you had. I mean, you know, I don't know that I've mentioned Kalik Hudson more than a couple of times throughout camp. I think David Mayo has shown some good things. They like him when they go with like sort of a bigger lineup in run situations. But yeah, they needed some more there. But yeah, in terms of the waiver wire, I mean, I would still expect them to look at linebacker and cornerback in particular on defense as areas where, as it stands right now, I still have questions about the depth. I think the other thing with linebackers, how many do they keep? Like, I have them keeping five in my current 53, but normally I would have had them keeping six. I just don't know that there's somebody who's worthy of keeping. And then, you know, in order to release a defensive end or another cornerback or a wide receiver or something like that. So that's why I think they could add someone just for more depth. But yeah, this could be it with your guy Nathan.
Ben, for this weekend, if we do get a lot from the starters, for offensive purposes, I'm not saying I need an Osaka, Japan, Steve Spurrier type show. I want to see something. I want to see a spark. And a little bit less Carson Wentz five straight times to Armani Rogers potentially in that. But I just want them to move the football. I want one of those drives where it looks like they can do whatever they want and they can play in one of these modern NFL-type shootouts. I know that's probably not fair to judge a team and get annoyed if they don't do that here in the preseason. I'm just kind of telling you about my preference at this stage from the first-team offense. What are you looking for? And just kind of give me an idea of what we might be able to expect here against Kansas City.
Well, I think somebody who agrees with you is the head coach, because Rivera said the other day, you know, he kind of wished they had been able to hit on some of those, a couple of those long shots that Wentz took. And this is why you bring in Carson Wentz, to expand the playbook, to throw down the field. If they just wanted to throw underneath, you know, you could just stay with Taylor Heinicke. We see in practice, you know, it's been, obviously, as we've all discussed, it's been a little hit or miss, but, you know, Wentz has hit some big throws down the field. Jahan Dotson, he's connected with several times in camp deep, including a long one yesterday. They weren't able to hook up in the last game, but I think that, you know, I definitely have something to keep an eye on for sure. Obviously, McLaurin would be great as well. I feel like their chemistry is still a little more work in progress, but, you know, between those two guys alone, you know, they obviously have the receivers to make those kinds of plays. So I'm with you. Rivera's with you. I think everybody wants to see them open it up, because ultimately, if Carson Wentz is just throwing underneath, that's not why you bring him in. But again, that was only the one game, as we know, and he'll have chances in this game. I think the question, of course, will also be, you know, what kind of protection does he get? We already discussed the questions inside the offensive line, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think keep an eye on Dotson and Deep. Those two have had a good hookup in camp, and hopefully they can find some opportunities on Saturday.
Ben, if you're going out to Kansas City, I go thumbs up on Jack Stack Barbecue. I really like that spot. I go thumbs down on Gates Barbecue. I found it to be overrated.
I'm not going to make this trip, unfortunately, but isn't Gates the go-to? Like, that's like their Ben's Chili Ball, right?
Yeah, it is. Everyone talks about it, and I went there, and I was like, I got, you know, barbecue places in D.C. that are chains that are comparable. I wasn't impressed, but Oklahoma Joe's was really, really good, and I love Jack Stack's. Their burn ends are awesome.
Noted. I'm going to put that in my travel log for the next time I make it out there. I take your word on such things.
My guy. Thank you, Ben. We appreciate the info, buddy.
Thanks, Bob.
Always, man. Thanks. See ya.
Quick check-in out in Ashburn with Ben Standing of The Athletic here on Grant and Danny. All right, let's put a bow and wrap up this Deshaun Watson conversation, the big breaking news of the day. We'll go around the NFL coming up at 3:25. We got some time for the double play at 3:45. In the next hour, we can get into the running back breakdown for the Commanders as we go forward this preseason. Robert Spindell waiting in Dallas, JaVelin Culpepper. So let's mow through this right now on GND. Robert, thank you for the ring, buddy. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. First of all, let me say your response to the gentleman with the Ben Roethlisberger thing, I thought that was absolutely perfect. It was a different time, different place. I know what road he was trying to go down, but it doesn't fit in this area. Hey, man, Deshaun Watson's got some issues, bro. You know, when you stoop to the point where you're an NFL quarterback and you're driving around the city looking for the neon light massage parlors, that tells me that there's something going on in your head. And now that I look back, I wanted Deshaun Watson like everybody else who was a free agent. I will say, though, that kind of person, I'm glad we don't have him here. And I think there are going to be a lot of teams down the road. There's something wrong with this kid, or this man, I should say, when you're doing these kind of things. I know he was never quote-unquote charged, but there's a pattern there that makes me very, very uncomfortable, and I don't want him leading my team. I'm glad I don't have to be put in a position where I have to pull for a team with a guy like that being the quarterback. So, hail to the Commanders. Deshaun, good luck to you. It is what it is. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy. And yeah, he'll get another chance now at life and at football to move forward and do things the right way. I think for me, and he kind of said this, but I'll double down, it was the quantity. It was the number of women that came forward when it was, and maybe this says something negative or bad about me, I don't know, but when it was one or two allegations, I'm very much open to the possibility of a misunderstanding or, you know, who knows, that's an awkward thing. Like, let's wait and see what happens here. Then it's three, then it's five, then it's eight. Next thing you know, we're talking about a couple of dozen women and over 60 that are talking to at least one reporter who say he was seeking them out and that this was very awkward at best and potentially harmful and illegal at worst. There's too many people coming forward. You know, I don't know what to say other than that has to matter. The number of people claiming that you did something to them has to matter. It just does.
This, again, it's so hard because we don't totally know, right? We're not, if we knew with 100% certainty, I mean, I hate to keep bringing up Michael Vick on this episode, but it's hard to kind of ignore, you know, we're talking about a guy that is going to have to serve some time in some way or go through a legal process and then is able to come back and play. With Vick, we had the court case. It happened. We know that he was running this ongoing criminal enterprise of a dogfighting ring, et cetera. With these other cases, whether it be Greg Hardy, Zeke Elliott, you know, some of the other domestic violence cases that aren't springing to mind immediately, or then this one, harassment with Deshaun Watson, we've got testimony or we've got the accounts of all the alleged victims, and they're graphic and hard to read and stomach turning, but that they still remain allegations. We have no 100% unequivocal proof, and the truth may lie somewhere in the middle. My point is here, the range isn't a good range to be in. The best case is that this is incredibly odd, weird, and if this was your like kid, you'd go, what are you doing? Stop behaving this way. It's really, really weird. That's as good as it can be for Deshaun Watson. That's the kindest interpretation for how he acted over these multiple months and years and you know, sort of slinking around on Instagram, you know, looking for private off-the-books kind of massages and all that kind of behaviors. Again, the kind of thing where you would not want anyone you know to engage in that kind of behavior.
But, and as a professional athlete, it doesn't happen. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just
right.
You don't do that. Teams have their own massages in-house. Players pay lots of money. I remember Dwayne Haskins, Tom Brady, like a bunch of people I covered would go to the same person every time because as a professional athlete, they know exactly what you want and need. You're able to get on your phone and just live your life, and they're there when you count on them to be there at the right time, and you have the rate set up and everything. There is no searching for people, let alone on your own, let alone on social media and direct messages. It doesn't happen. JaVale's in Culpeper. Hey, JaVale.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you as well. So what made me call in with you guys is when I heard heard you guys speaking of, you know, him being contrite and, you know, how he wasn't, you know, really remorseful or apologetic and or why did he, you know, apologize for things that he did not do. Well, I remember, you know, 6-7 months ago, people were saying the exact opposite, you know, because he was being steadfast and that he wasn't going to apologize because he hadn't done anything wrong. I think we fail to realize that the NFL, it's a fraternity of 32 men, basically, and they have their own rules. And the NFLPA and the NFL came to this agreement because the NFL did not want the NFLPA to take them to court because it was going to open so much more that the NFL was not ready for. They took the public's perspective. They got this first judge who was a woman, and they thought that was a better PR look. She said, 6 games because of your president, and that wasn't good for public relations. The NFL needs to, in the next bargaining agreement, it has to be stated. If they're going to have certain punishments, they have to, you know, make that the situation. And I believe Deshaun is going to be that. But it still comes down to if you can play or if you can't, you know, because we saw what Ray Rice done. Ray Rice never played again. Deshaun Watson, I mean, it's not, you know, that direct physical blow as he did, but all of these allegations, you know, people are wondering why.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, JaVale, because I agree with almost everything you're saying. I think it's
yeah, I agree with what you're saying, buddy.
But let me ask you a quick follow-up to that. On Ray Rice, because I agree with you, I've made this point. I do think if he was in the prime of his career,
if he's ripping off 5 a carry, he still plays.
He probably plays. But it is a way more, you know, replacement-level position than quarterback. But I would ask you this. If there were videos of what Deshaun Watson did, okay? It's still largely a he said, she said, and he's able to, depending on if you believe him or not, either hide behind the fact that there's no video, or if you think he's right, you could say he benefits from the correct fact that he's able to say, I didn't do it. Ray Rice said one thing, then the video came out, and we now know, okay? A la, who's the running back with Nick Chubb? Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt said something happened, right. The video comes out, he was lying. So now we see it, and it changes the game, right? If there were videos right. of Deshaun Watson doing this, do you think he would play again? 24-plus videos of him doing this, do you think he would play again?
If they were video...
If we knew for a fact, because of the video evidence, that what he did to all right. these women happened, and we see it, right? And there's he was not right. only harassing, but the ones that say he's assaulting, he was assaulting. If it actually right. happened and there was video evidence, do you think he would play again?
But I don't think there would be video evidence because I believe that the evidence and what the grand jury was shown for them, two different grand juries, to not charge him says...
Right, because you can't... There's no video in a private room, so there's no way to prove it. But it's a hypothetical. I'm asking you. You're getting to this...
But yeah. No. But you have to understand, when it comes to a grand jury, it's like 98% of every case that goes to the grand jury, the person is charged. Like 97-98%. And two different grand juries did not charge this man.
Okay. And then I don't know if that's true or not. I can look that up. But you haven't answered my question yet. If there was a video of this, would he play again?
If you saw video and he done what he was alleged of doing, yes, he would never play again.
Okay, that's my question.
And I'll say this in closing. The NFL cannot suspend this man for 12 games or what it came out to be 11 games, okay? 11 games, and six was their precedent for this. Six, okay? And then you suspend he's slipping me, the receiver in
Calvin Ridley.
Atlanta for gambling. Yeah, you suspend Calvin Ridley for a year, okay? For a year for gambling $1,500, but then you want to give this man just a year for breaking the code of conduct or making the NFL look bad? Like, it's all about if you can play, if you can't. And Deshaun Watson is...
No, but you admitted, thank you for the call, you admitted that if they're...
Thanks, man.
I mean, you're talking about dozens of women that came forward with allegations, whereas the other situation is one guy betting on a few games. But it's hard to even juxtapose the two because it's apples, it's oranges, it's bananas. They're just completely different. But my point is just simply that he has a career and he will keep playing because we don't know what happened. We have to. In this country, innocent until proven guilty, there has to be some benefit of the doubt that he didn't do all of the things that are alleged. All I'm saying is, I'm picking at it at the one point where you said it's just because he's really good, you get to keep playing. Well, no, I think if Deshaun Watson, as good as he is, or Brady, or Rodgers, or anybody else, if there's video of them doing that, it's over. And that was what happened more so than anything else with Ray Rice, in my opinion. 800-636-1067 is the number. Do you disagree with that, Danny?
No, the only thing I was going to add is if the point, hey, this league is hypocritical, hey, this league, you know, is inconsistent,
true.
Then you're getting a co-sign from me.
Yeah,
I
fact.
Mean, again, you've got ownership right here in town, in fact, where that is, there's a great case for that. And you've got a whole, we don't have any video, so he's still in the owner's box. He's still eating meatballs out of the commander's crock pot or whatever the hell it is, still pouring milk in Ted Lerner's suite. You know, just because we don't have great video evidence of it, then he's still just collecting the paychecks and everything is fine and dandy. So if that's the point, 100% cosign.
Yeah, Robert Kraft himself got into a controversy over a massage parlor. It was not nearly as big a story. So if you're saying there's hypocrisy, you're not wrong about that.
Sign me up.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll go around the NFL non-Deshaun Watson division next right here on your flagship home. For the Washington Nationals, the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan. Always appreciate you guys making the show part of your day. Preseason football back tonight. In fact, we're going to get our first taste of Monday Night Football as a broadcast and Monday Night Football countdown this evening. You know, Robert Griffin has been added to Monday Night Countdown. I think he's replacing Randy Moss, if memory serves. But he'll make his debut with Steve Young and that crew tonight leading up to the game. Bears-Seahawks, 8 o'clock kickoff. Under the lights tonight in Seattle. Hoping we see Justin Fields, I would have to imagine. Early in year two, he's going to get a bunch of reps here. Preseason week two. Daniel, you with us?
Oh, I thought we were throwing to the audio about that.
Oh, I thought we rehearsed that. We haven't started going around the NFL yet.
Oh, I thought we had started. That's my fault there. See, I thought this was like a Justin Fields is going to talk about something. See, I screwed that up. That's on me. Yeah, the deck is stacked against poor Justin Fields, by the way. I mean, now, who knows if he'd have been good or otherwise. I was a Justin Fields guy, so I kind of think he'd had a chance to be good somewhere, somehow. But this is the clinic on how to make sure your young quarterback is unsuccessful. You change coaches. You don't provide enough offensive talent. I think their offensive spending is towards the bottom of the league. I don't know what they're doing or why or how, but they're basically just biding their time until they can draft their next young quarterback at some point. Poor kid.
So when Danny stops talking, that's when I start talking. That's the way we'll do it.
People always learn how to do this.
So you guys have good chemistry then. You've been working together for a while. And I'm like, Sometimes. Oh, you wouldn't believe that chemistry. Some days it's better than others, though. Without
Sometimes
further ado,
a toilet and water.
As Danny just told you we would be, let's go around the NFL, shall we? On G&D, this is non-Commanders division, okay? So don't get too excited if you want to hear your Commanders breakdowns. They are coming, and this is the non-Deshaun Watson news of the NFL right now. As we get you started out of Jets camp, where Ian Rappaport's talking Zach Wilson's chances of being back by week one. Sounds like the Jets are optimistic. This was on the Rich Eisen show.
You know, it's interesting because, like, if you look at it, I've watched the hit a bunch. And I know you have too. The play a bunch. Non-contact, knee buckled, looked horrendous. I mean, just looked terrible. And, you know, everyone on Twitter is speculating, like, Jimmy G, he's out for, you know, Zach's out for the season and everything bad. And then you dig into it a little bit, and everybody was like, well, hang on. You know, it's not actually, like, we think the ACL is okay. And then I heard that there was a little, you know, sort of a reoccurrence of his PCL, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not great, but not an ACL. So, and then it's like bone bruise, which is something, not nothing, and surgery, something, not nothing, but nothing that's going to keep him out for the season. So, like, might you have Joe Flacco for a game or no more? Like, you might, but he's going to play this season, which I think is a very good sign.
The Jets' whisper quiet, GP, have made themselves better. How much is TBD? They were kind of the bell of the ball when it came to the draft this past year, adding skill position talent all over the place. They gave up over 500 points last year. Not that many teams do that. Only a couple teams have really done that in the history of the NFL, even with the 17 games. They were a disaster on that side of the football. Offensively, they weren't much better, to be honest with you. They got outscored by almost 200 points over the course of the season, which is epically bad Jacksonville Jaguar type stuff. But whisper quiet, they've gotten a little bit better on offense. I like Breece Hall, the running back. Garrett Wilson, the first-round pick, to go with Corey Davis. They got him as a free agent from Tennessee a couple years ago. And Elijah Moore. It's a whisper-quiet, decent little group. I want to see Wilson on the field ASAP.
The Jets have not had a winning season since 2015. It's the only winning season they've had since 2010. Remember, they went to the conference championship under Rex
Ryan. Two times in 3 years, right?
No, it's two back-to-back.
Back-to-back, yeah, wow.
9-7, 11-5, and 09-10, and then since then, They have not even sniffed the playoffs. They have not been to the postseason since that year, and Rex Ryan would go on to be there for four more playoffless seasons, then Bowles, then Gase, and now Robert Saleh. But yes, their draft class has a chance to be special. Look, they made three picks in the first round. It should be really good. Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, Sauce Gardner, the corner out of Cincinnati, Jermaine Johnson, who they got, who fell into their lap at the end of the first round of the ACC. All three of those guys in the first. You mentioned they came back and got Breece Hall in the second. It was a banner draft for them. I think those guys will all help. Their third-round pick, Jeremy Ruckert's going to play at tight end, so they should be a lot better. Could they be this year's Bengals? Well, how about Cincinnati as they get ready for their season? Dateline Bengals camp where Joe Burrow had an appendectomy. I had my appendix taken out. It was one of the most painful, awful experiences of my life, army crawling through an urgent care at 4 in the morning, not knowing what was going on in my stomach, only to find out I needed to get my appendix operated on before it burst. Apparently, Joe Burrow's actually burst. I can't even imagine the pain he was going through. He talked about how much weight he's lost because of the surgery and how he's trying to get back to his playing weight.
As hard as you worked physically in the offseason to continue to get stronger and more athletic, whatever terms you want to use, was it just frustrating to look in the mirror and see weight loss after a ruptured appendix?
Yeah, it was frustrating, but you know, control what you can control, and so you know, we're working back to get to that point. Not quite there, but we got 3 weeks left to get my strength, my speed, and my athleticism back to where it was before.
Nutrition-wise, what do you have to add or subtract to get back in such a short time?
Got to go back to the high school days when you're trying to gain 20 pounds in a couple weeks span. So we're forcing down as much as we can.
What's the go-to?
What do you eat? What do you eat?
Everything.
We've all been there, haven't we, Joe? Trying to put that weight on with all the food. How relatable. What an everyman. They got a chance to do something really, really special here. Usually when you lose the Super Bowl, you go on that kind of magical run where you punch above your weight class a couple times. They probably should have lost a couple of the games on the way to that Super Bowl. Didn't matter. They were on the magic carpet ride. Offensively, you know the pieces they've got, led by Joe Burrow, a guy that's the sky's the limit for how good he can be. To me, this is about if they're able to stay healthy. You could say that for a million teams. But if they're able to stay healthy and a couple more plays get made on defense to maybe steal them a game if they're in a bit of a rock fight here and there in that AFC North. But this is a formidable group right here, and having Burrow back healthy is pivotal, obviously.
I am a huge Joe Burrow fan. In fact, he was one of the guys I've been surest about coming out of college in my entire lifetime, being great in the NFL. The makeup, the moxie, the accuracy, the athleticism, he's got the whole package. Even still, though, he was very solid last year. He wasn't exceptional, and you wouldn't know that based on the conversation. I mean, it was an awesome year, 34 touchdowns, 14 picks. I think he's still got a lot more in the tank.
I think
he's just getting started. People are already ranking him in the top five, top seven. I think that's a little early, a little bullish. He'll be there. He's only getting going. I mean, that was scratching the surface as far as I'm
concerned.
Where's
he right now for you?
Probably if I had to do it.
Putting you on the spot, top of your head.
Back end, top 10 maybe. I mean, I'd have to actually put a ranking together. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, you've had a few guys retire. There's not as many upper echelon quarterbacks. But I do think, like, guys like Herbert and Burrow are getting pushed up the board a little aggressively. Whereas, yeah, the tools are there. They're going to be unbelievable. But there's still some things that they leave on the field, too. But I love Burrow. I mean, he's the real deal. He's going to be great for a long time. How about Hollywood Brown, Danny? He got arrested for going well over 100 miles an hour. This is a year after an NFL player got into a crash that killed someone at over 100 miles an hour at his same position, wide receiver. And it's just crazy to see that players are still doing this. I mean, we know what happened, obviously, tragically here with DeShazer Everett in town. So the Cardinals wide receiver, they acquired in a trade on draft day from the Ravens, says he wants to continue to learn and no longer disappoint the organization after his arrest. This is via TMZ.
I mean, just learn from it. I'm not a guy to get in trouble, so you know, I just put it in my past and you know, make sure I'm always doing the right things at all times.
Is there any context you can give why you were going such a high rate of speed at that time?
I can't really get into it.
There's a lot swirling around the Arizona Cardinals, and they start off really well each and every year, as they have, and then they fall apart in the second half of the season. They need Hollywood Brown to be a difference maker and not off to a great start.
His time in Baltimore was disappointing, and I was really surprised that Arizona did what they did with him, but I think we found out sooner rather than later with DeAndre Hopkins as to, you know, why that happened, obviously, that they felt like they needed to go make a play and bring in a wide receiver. But, yeah, Hollywood Brown, to your point, he's going to be vital to them. Absolutely massive that they can get some big chunk plays for Kyler Murray down the field, open some things up underneath for their running game. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We are blitzing at four. We'll get into the Commanders running back controversy that seems to be brewing at 4:25 today. Later in the show, Jason Wright celebrating 2 years since being hired by the Commanders. How do we feel about his 2 years in charge and how much progress has he made so far as team president? We'll get into that right here on The Fan.
GP, I was worried that something wonderful might be coming to an end. So since the pandemic started, you and I, and most, I would say more me than you, it's not a competition, I'm just sort of saying, we've taken some liberties. And instead of dutifully coming into the studio every day, sometimes we do these moves where I just get to stay at the beach for an extra week, but I'm still on the old Combrex machine, dutifully showing up and hanging out with my pal Grant, talking about the Commanders. I've taken boys trips where I've gone to Austin. I've gone to Nashville. Again, bringing the Comrex and doing the show. Well, today I plug in to do the old radio program with my friend Grant, and I got no charge. I got no chargeability on the Comrex. And I'm looking around trying to figure out what's going on. Is it an electrical switch? Is it an outlet? No. The problem is the battery pack on the Comrex pummeled. There's a loose wire. It's all frayed, and it looks bad. It's not good. I'm on the phone with Darius. We're talking engineers. And it looks like this little vacation, this little wonderful thing that you and I have done where we don't really ask for permission. We just kind of do these things. It might be coming to an end. If I can't get on air, what good am I down here? You know what I mean? Now I'm just a guy that's taking extra time, and I'm lazy, and I'm kind of the worst. But right now, I'm still a good dude. I have done something incredible. I need to be praised. Everyone needs to be talking about me. I am the most masculine man that has ever done anything. What am I talking about? I took scissors and a knife. I started cutting and whittling away at these plastic coverings on the wires. I have hot water. The Comrex machine to the point that it's now charging. It's not losing batteries. I'm still on air. I'm not going to move. Even if I have to go to the bathroom, I will not leave this seat because I have solved it for the time being. I'm going to stay on air despite the fact that when the show started, I had no ability to charge the Comrex unit. I may be the greatest living man. Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
So I've got two observations. The first is in an ironic and hilarious twist. While you were giving that monologue, your Comrex dropped for a split second, which is hilarious.
Come on.
No, that's
really?
True. Not in a terrible way, but just enough that people were like, oh, that wasn't good.
I guess he didn't fix it so good. I can't fix that part, by the way.
No,
I don't know how any of this works, for the record.
Not on
I know you. I push a button that says main, and then Darius goes, hello, and I'm like, hey, that worked. I have no idea how it works.
All right, so then number two, and this is more important, I'm really proud of you. I mean, this is a big deal. I was actually at my house before my dishwasher still doesn't work. You know, I've been talking about my dishwasher not working for like 6 weeks.
Still?
Yeah, I got the part a month ago. It's just sitting on the counter above my dishwasher. I don't know.
Right
how
above
to do
the dishwasher,
it.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with the part? And some guy was like, oh, let me know. I'll come back. And this is the same guy that helped me with my stove. He charged me $270 or whatever it was, you know? So I'm like, ah. I don't know about that. So right now I just have had no dishwasher this whole time. So I say that to tell you that we collectively, and me specifically, have no skills. And when someone says this is what you have to do, normally that just means there's not even an attempt. In fact, Darius was on the phone with you and Tom, and he came back into the studio, and he's like, yeah, Tom was telling Danny that the frayed wire he could fix because he has to peel away the cover, but then if he puts the little metal parts together, and we both... At the same time, we're like, there's just no chance he's even going to try that.
There's no way.
Like, not even that you couldn't do it, that you won't even, like, the idea of even cutting open that wire and doing, you're just going to punt before that. Your day of work is just over before that.
I shocked myself twice, and I basically, if I hadn't been able to do this, probably right around the conclusion of the Beltway Blitz, I think the Comrex, Ryan, would have just run out of power, and that would have been it for me.
They do have several hours of power, wasn't it? Plugged in all day?
Well, yesterday it was plugged in and it worked, but plugging it in before I fixed it wouldn't have made any difference. Does that make any sense? Like, I could plug it into the wall outlet as much as I want. The juice wasn't flowing to the Comrex machine. I now have rigged it MacGyver style. I want people to visualize how to hotwire a car. If you've ever seen someone do it in like 2 seconds in like any kind of movie or TV show, I basically did that, but with the Comrex battery and the power pack. We use words like genius a lot in our society, an awful lot. These are the times it should be reserved for. Like, I'm amazed at myself. Amazed. Absolutely amazed.
I'm very proud of you. I will tell you that.
Thank you.
And this, I'll take this as a win for us as a tandem, if I may. In the same way that when my wife makes chocolate chip cookies and we take it to a party,
I say that we made chocolate chip cookies.
We made them and we brought them. We have done something that a man would do with his hands. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that a guy would be able to do, and you and I did it together.
Sharp objects, electricity, cutting, whittling. There's even some, like, whittling-type motions, because you can't cut too hard, because then you're cutting the wire. I just wanted to cut the rubber coating outside the wire. I did all that, man. Again, this is my Sistine Chapel.
It is time for your pals, Double Play. If you're wondering what the delay is, Darius is actually, he's like the correspondent in the Middle East. He's running the board today in another country. And so that was what that, like, second and a, he's like, got his hand on his finger, and he's like, I'm hearing it's time for the double play. I will now hit the button. Here's what I was going to tell you guys. You posted last night, Darius, the podcast that we did. So Cole Henry sat down with us last night on Bustin' Loose Baseball and broke the news that he is having thoracic outlet surgery, which is not a good thing, obviously. This is a very, very scary procedure. But I want people to know, Danny, he's one of the top pitching prospects for the Nationals. He's really, really highly regarded in baseball. Has been one of the most dominant arms below the big leagues the last couple of years. This is the same procedure Strasburg had where they're removing a rib, and it's a really scary thing. And he kind of leveled with that. And he, you know, with some levity, was talking about how frankly, you know, he's worried about this. But he was candid and he was forthright, and he gave all the details of the surgery and kind of how they got to the point that he was going to have this. And I've never quite done an interview like this with someone who's injured who was this forthright. I mean, it was really pretty eye-opening and stunning, and he's a special guy. So go listen to Bustin' Loose Baseball. Maybe we could play a clip at the end of the show before we get out of here tonight from Cole Henry. But not only was it a big deal because it was news, I mean, it's not something, you know, we want to necessarily celebrate as news because it's a sad thing for Cole Henry, but for him to have just been so candid was pretty amazing. So Bustin' Loose Baseball, brand new episode dropped last night with Cole Henry.
It's a bummer, man. It seems like now all of a sudden, I don't want to call it an epidemic because it's two guys within the organization, but it's, you know, every time you think, okay, hey, here's the light at the end of the tunnel. No, not so fast. You open up looking for sunshine, you get smacked in the nose a little bit there, but you feel for the dude. Hopefully he's able to come back. He's young enough where he's got a long enough horizon to be able to make a difference at the big league level at some point in his career.
Beltway Blitz on the Nationals, the NBA, and the Commanders coming up at the top of the hour next. Right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.